We do wish you a happy new year. This is the time of the year where we have to start learning, you know, to alter the way we write our checks and all of those things, and as we begin this new year, 2017. It's also a time that we naturally begin to begin our new resolutions, our New Year's resolutions, we call them, and we may resolve to do any number of things. Some of the most popular have to do with losing weight, and therefore resolve that we're going to exercise more. We might resolve that we're going to eat better, and you know, all in an effort to try to lose weight. Or we might resolve that we're going to try to break some bad habits that we have, or maybe start some new good habits that we've been meaning to develop in ourselves. We might resolve that we're going to fix some financial issues, you know, in our budget. All sorts of things we might resolve to do, and this is a good time for us to do that and to begin those kind of efforts, and something that we try to do at the start of every year. And it lasts for a week or two, and then we go back to our old ways, it seems like. Sadly, we don't stick to our resolutions. The word resolve, and it has several different definitions, but to make a firm decision about. And that puts it simply. You know, here we are making at the start of a year, and we make a firm decision about making some improvements in our lives. And that's not at all a bad thing. It's something that we need to do. We need to stop and look back and see where we have not done as well as we should have. And indeed, resolve, make a firm decision to make some improvements in the coming year. It's a time for us to stop and take inventory and to be able to, you know, see what areas that went as well as they should have, and maybe make some changes, you know, as we go into the new year. Well, of course, we need to stop and take inventory spiritually as well. We need to stop and make some resolutions in a spiritual sense as well. You know, where are you spiritually? Have you grown in the last year, spiritually speaking, as you wanted to do, or as you resolved last year that you would do? You know, how are you doing spiritually? Do you allow yourself to be easily distracted from reaching after those goals that you had set for yourselves, being distracted by mundane things of life? You know, how well are you doing spiritually? And so as we begin this new year, you know, we have a chance to start off all afresh and, you know, with a clean slate and make a great year for ourselves in our service to the Lord. And indeed, we need to stop and look back and see where we've made mistakes and see what we can do to make things better in the future. But we need to always remember that our focus still needs to be on the future. Remember over in the book of Philippians 3, verses 13 and 14, Paul had said, "Brethren, I count not myself yet to have laid hold, but one thing I do, forgetting the things which are behind and stretching forward to the things which are before, I press on toward the goal and to the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." We're to press forward, and that's ultimately what we're to do, and so we need to be careful not to be looking back too much, just enough that we can learn from the mistakes we made so that we won't make them again, and then press on into the future. Well, what we're going to talk about today are resolutions and the need for us to resolve to do a better job, if you will, as we serve the Lord every day. I want us to first of all make this point that the Bible upholds resolving. It supports the concept of making a firm decision about some things that need to be changed. And we can read in various places. For example, we can read about God Himself and how He purposed, or He made a firm decision in His mind about some things. I've got a couple of passages here. Back in Isaiah 14 and verses 24 through 27, Isaiah chapter 14 and beginning at verse 24 says, "Jehovah of hosts hath sworn, saying, Surely as I have thought, so shall it come to pass, and as I have purposed, so shall it stand, that I will break the Assyrian in the land, and upon my mountain tread upon him underfoot. Then shall his yoke depart from off them, and his burden depart from off their shoulder. This is the purpose that I purposed upon the whole earth. And this is the hand that is stretched out upon all the nations. For Jehovah of hosts hath purposed, and who shall annul it? And his hand is stretched out, and who shall turn it back? God had purposed some things here. He had made a firm decision about what was going to be done. And he said, who can annul it? It's going to be done because that's what God purposed to do. Or the other passage there in Ephesians chapter 3 and in verses 10 and 11. Ephesians 3 and verses 10 and 11, and we're more familiar with this passage, of course. The Apostle Paul says, to the intent that now, unto the principalities and powers in the heavenly places might be made known through the church, the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose, which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. A part of God's eternal plan, a part of what God firmly determined, firmly decided upon a long time ago. Jesus came and died for lost man. God himself purposed, or God himself resolved to do some things, made a firm decision to do some things, and we can read about those in various places in Scripture. We can read about Daniel. You remember in Daniel chapter 1, how that there were some young men that were carried away into the Babylonian captivity. Daniel was one of them. The other three were Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And of these four men made a decision. There in Daniel chapter 1 and in verse 8, it tells us there that Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's dainties, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. He purposed in his heart not to defile himself. He made a firm decision that he was going to do what was right with God, no matter what King Nebuchadnezzar was asking him to do. So he had purpose of heart. He had resolved himself to do certain things. The Apostle Paul, he often purposed to do things as well. Over in the book of Acts chapter 19. In Acts chapter 19 we can read of Paul, and on this occasion says, now after these things were ended, Paul purposed in the Spirit, when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia, to go to Jerusalem, saying, after I have been there, I must also see Rome. So he had purposed in his spirit to go to Jerusalem. He had resolved himself that that's where he was going to go. He made that decision well in advance. And so he made his plan, and he stuck to his plan. You got to work your, got to plan your work, and then work your plan, and that's exactly what he did. As you read in the book of Acts and his travels, he purposed to go to Jerusalem, and so he did. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 13, you know, we see here in the passage in Acts that we were just reading how he wanted to go to Rome after he had gone to Jerusalem to render aid to the brethren there. Well, in Romans chapter 1 and in verse 13, he said, and I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you and was hindered hitherto, that I might have some fruit in you also, even as in the rest of the Gentiles. He had purposed to come there before. Oftentimes, he said, he had purposed or resolved himself to go to Rome, and different things were getting in the way, and it was just not possible up to that point in time. But Paul was one who purposed. Paul was one who resolved. And he urges us to do the same. And just this passage here in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. He speaks about the need for you and I to make a resolution of sorts. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and in verse 7. He says, let each man do according as he hath purposed in his heart. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. He was talking about our giving there that we'll engage in just a few moments. Biblical giving is resolved giving, is purposeful giving. It's giving that we've made a determined plan of in advance. It's not something we do just at the last second with whatever we have left over. It's something that we plan well in advance. And so in all of these passages, though, we see the idea that resolving is a biblical concept. It's something we see in a lot of different places. And we need to make some resolutions. We need to purpose in our heart to do some things in the Lord's service. You know, as someone said, if you aim at nothing, you'll hit it every time. Well, you think about it. That's right. If you aim at nothing, that's exactly what you'll hit. And so we need to have some resolution so we have something that we're shooting at, something that we're aiming at. We've got to have a goal to aim at if we're ever going to reach our goal. You know, some Christians complain about not growing. You know, I'm just not growing here. You know, what did you plan to do? What was your goal? What was the determined effort that you were putting forth to reach a goal? What was it? And most of the time, of course, they had no plan for progress. And they didn't progress, and no surprise if you stop and think about it. We've got to have that purpose of heart. We've got to make a determination, a determined decision of what we're going to do and be for Jesus Christ. When we resolve or purpose in our heart to make ourselves better in the Lord's service, we engage in something that those of the Bible did. And we greatly, greatly increase our odds of success. Before we look at some things that we might need to resolve about, let's also look at this. That is how to be successful in your resolutions. How can we be sure that we're going to succeed in our resolutions? As we said earlier, a lot of times we set those New Year's resolutions and a very short time later we realize we've thrown that out the window. We're eating like a crazy person, I guess. And, you know, we're certainly not eating like someone trying to lose weight. And so our resolution to lose weight is just totally gone. So let me suggest some four things. For one, assess where you are. We have to stop and first of all assess where we are. Before you can change, you first of all need to know what you've done right and what you've done wrong. If we don't first stop and take a look at ourselves and assess where we stand spiritually, we might very well find ourselves changing things that don't need to be changed and not changing the things that do need to be changed. We have to assess ourselves. We have to examine ourselves. Over in 2 Corinthians 13. In 2 Corinthians 13 and in verse 5, the King James rendering of this passage I think is good. 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5, where Paul says, "Examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not as to your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates?" He says to examine yourselves, to prove or test your own selves. And that's what we've got to do. We've got to stop and go through an assessment. We've got to test ourselves and see where we stand. Over in Galatians chapter 6 and in verse 4. Galatians 6 and verse 4, the American standard that I use, says, "But let each man prove his own work, and then shall he have his glory in regard of himself alone and not of his neighbor." I like, though, the New International Version on this passage. I don't like the New International Version a lot of places, but I do like it on this verse. It renders the same verse, "Each one should test his own actions. Then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to somebody else." We need to stop and test ourselves. We've got to assess ourselves. We need to carefully look at ourselves and compare ourselves with what we know we should be as given in Scripture. See where we stand. That's where it's got to start. But also, we need to make specific, reachable goals to improve ourselves. We need to write them down. We need to write them down so that we won't forget them. We need to write them down just because that effort of writing them down is going to set it more deeply into our minds of what our goal is. More fail by making unreasonable, unreachable goals. My goal for this year is that I not sin a single time. Well, that's not reasonable. We live in a world that is filled with material things, where Satan is using those things to tempt us to do things focused on the flesh, do things that are wrong and sinful, and to expect that we can just shut off the participation in sin altogether in a way is not reasonable. And so we need to be reasonable in the kind of goals that we set for ourselves, make them such goals that we can reach them. You know, when we set goals that we can't really reach, then what happens? We become discouraged because we didn't reach them. So we need to set reasonable, reachable goals that we can be encouraged by when we have achieved them. If we know where we are, if I know where I am, and I know I want to be over there, I may not be able to make the full journey to over there, to my goal. So I might want to set for myself two or three or four spots along the path toward my goal. Again, so that when I reach them, I can be encouraged. I'm going in the right direction. I've made a lot of progress. Let's go to the next step. And I can be encouraged to press on like I need to do. So we need to make specific, reachable goals in the areas where we might need to improve ourselves. Then we need to do it. We need to do what we are setting out to do. You know, the hardest part is being determined enough to actually do it. Some fellow by the name of Tyrone Edwards, he said this. He says, "He that resolves upon a great and good end has by that very resolution scaled the chief barrier to it." Think about that. Just simply by thinking carefully about where we are, assessing where we are, and of the need to make some improvements, and setting for ourselves those specific goals that we need to reach to make our goal ultimately. That's the biggest part of it. And that's not enough, of course. We've got to actually do it. Over in Colossians chapter 3 and in verse 23, the Apostle Paul said, "Whatsoever ye do, work heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men." We need to work heartily. We need to set that goal for ourselves and then dig in and work hard at it. We've got to have some determination to put in the effort that's necessary to make it work. And if we don't, then it will not be done. We'll fall short, we'll become discouraged, and our growth will be cut off completely. But we need to assess where we are. We need to make some specific reachable goals. We need to do it. And I'd also note this, to note your accomplishments. We should take note of when we reach those goals. Again, when we reach a goal, we can be encouraged by that. We can be encouraged by the fact that we've been able to make it that far. There's a lot of satisfaction in that. In 2013, I had my mild heart attack, and they told me, I needed to go to rehab. I got sentenced to rehab. So I had to go to rehab. I think it's 3 or 4 days a week and exercise. On day one, they said, "Don't even think about losing weight. This is not about losing weight. You're not going to lose weight." Well, I was way overweight. And so I determined to use it as an opportunity to lose weight, even though that wasn't the goal. And so I lost weight, and I started losing weight. And so, you lose 10 pounds, and that's encouraging, and you want to keep going. And 20 pounds, and you're encouraged even more. 30 pounds, I got 39 pounds off this body. Most of those pounds were still off when I moved here. I'm back where I started from, to tell you the truth. And I'm not proud of that at all. I've got a resolve to fix that. I've got to make a determined decision, decide definitively that I'm going to make some changes there. But when you set those goals, I don't need to be setting the goal for myself that I'm going to start out and I'm going to lose 40 pounds. Because I may not lose 40 pounds. I need to lose 5 pounds. And then when I reach that goal, I ought to be encouraged and reach another 5 pound goal and that kind of things. And when each of those come along, I need to make note of that. Make note of the fact that I have reached my goal. It's not my ultimate goal, but it's getting me closer and closer to that ultimate goal. Because I'll be encouraged and be able to press on then to where I need to go. We need to understand that God takes note, and thus so should we. Over in Hebrews chapter 6 and in verse 10, the writer of Hebrews says, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and the love which ye showed toward his name, in that ye ministered unto the saints and still do minister." God is not righteous or unrighteous to forget your work. And we don't need to forget our work either. We ought to be encouraged by what we have been able to accomplish. Not be satisfied, but be encouraged. And again, let that be a stepping stone for even more improvement as we work toward that whatever the ultimate goals are that we've set for ourselves. So now let's turn our attention to some specific areas where resolutions may be in order. And so I want to talk first of all about attending services. And what I want to do with each of the points we're going to make for the rest of our lesson this morning is to use the four areas that we just talked about and make our points with that. So in regards to attending services, we've got to first of all start by assessing where we are. Have you been attending the services of the local church like you should? Have you been attending all of the services of the saints? Have you been attending the services to such a degree that you're pleased with how you've been doing in that respect? Are you attending the services of the church to such an extent that God would be pleased by your habit of attendance? When you have missed, what were the reasons for missing? Were they reasons that we would understand God would accept, that God would be all right with, or are they merely excuses for why we really were missing? Maybe we just really didn't want to come. Maybe we just really didn't want to spend time with brethren. Maybe the thought of worshiping God just wasn't on our mind. We had other things we wanted to do, but we did have a slight headache, so that's the reason why we didn't go. I wasn't feeling well. I mean, assess yourself. Why were the reasons that you weren't here? Did you have a lot of little emergencies that came up at the last minute and kept getting in the way for you to be able to be in attendance with your brethren? Well, you remember Jesus talked about, we have different places where it's talked about, about having an ox that falls in the ditch and, you got to get the ox out of the ditch. Well, if your ox keeps getting in the ditch, maybe you need to get rid of the ox. Maybe you need to get rid of that ox and get one that's not so inclined to get in the ditch all the time. We need to think about, why is it that we've not been able to attend the services any better than what we have? And that may not be the case with everyone here, of course. This may not be an area that is needing any improvement on your part. There are several here, I think, that would probably not need to make any changes there. But think about the second area there, a reachable goal. What would be a reachable goal if I find that my attendance has not been what it should? What kind of a reasonable, reachable goal should I be setting for myself? Well, the church of the first century, they were very persistent in these kind of things, it seems. Over in Acts chapter 2, after the 3,000 had obeyed the gospel on the day of Pentecost, in verse 42 of Acts chapter 2, it says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching and fellowship in the breaking of bread and the prayers." And so it seems that they were continuing steadfastly. They were continually devoting themselves to the service of God. And we ought to have that as a goal for ourselves. If we don't set for ourselves the goal that we're going to, try to be present for all the services, then we're not going to be present for all the services. And we will end up missing more of the services than we think we would. We've got to set for that for ourselves that we plan to be here for every service so that we can be strengthened and so that we can be a source of strength for others. What's the third point? Well, to do it. We need to make our goal and, give no second thoughts to it at all, no hesitations. We've made our decision, and so we'll be present. One Christian said that he would wait until, it was time for services to start and then make the decision whether he would go or not. And obviously, he missed a lot of services. No wonder. We've got to make a determined decision, a very decided decision now, a very definite decision now, that we're going to be present. When it comes time for the services of the church, we won't have to stop and think, are we going to go? I already made that decision. I'll be there. And so I've got to get myself ready. I've got to get out of whatever it is I'm doing and get to where I've already made a decision to be for the services of the church. And so we've got to make that decision. Then we've got to stick to it. We've got to decide that we'll attend every service faithfully, and we've got to then let that decision stand and not look for reasons to rescind that decision. And then, as we had there, to record it. Write down on a calendar when you made it. If you've been having trouble attending the services, write down on a calendar when you made it to services. Were you present for the Bible study and the worship service or just the worship service? Make a note of your attendance. Make a record. No one else has to see it, but make a record of it. Did you attend all the services during a gospel meeting? If you were late or if you missed, put down on the calendar. Why did I miss last week? Because, put down the reason. This will help you to assess yourself in the future. as you seek to resolve to correct this area, perhaps again in the future. But you need to stop and make a record of it. Figure out what you can change to remove, you know, one excuse at a time. If you've got several different excuses that you've used for not attending, you know, find ways of getting rid of those excuses one by one so that you can indeed be present when the brethren gather for worship. Be where the Lord wants you to be. So there's attending services might be an area where some might need to resolve to do better, but also daily prayer. Daily prayer. How much time have you spent in prayer over the last year? There certainly have been many things for which we as Christians should be devoted to prayer. Praying for the sick, praying for our own health, praying for the health of our loved ones, but praying for our brethren when they are not physically well, praying for the church, praying for the work that we seek to do in this community, praying for so many things. And so we have a lot to pray about, and we ought to be spending time devoted to God in prayer. And we ought to be certain that we're not just using, you know, not just simply uttering words that we've heard others pray, but I mean, we may say the exact same thing, but we need to make sure that we're using words that means it's coming really from our heart. And sometimes if you just force yourself to use words that you've never heard before to say the exact same thing, you're having to make it come from your heart. You have to think about what it is you're saying and find ways for it to truly be the offering of what's deep within your heart. You need to stop and assess your prayers. Set for yourself a goal, a daily goal to pray for a certain length of time or a certain number of times during the day, whatever the goal might be. Choose a time when you're fresh and you're undisturbed, you're undistracted. Find a place that you want to use for praying to God, whatever kind of place would be conducive for that. But set for yourself a goal in respect to prayer and then do it. Again, you make that determined or that very decided decision, that's the right way to say it, make a very definite decision that you're going to pray more every day, no matter what happens. Remember the story of Daniel? Daniel chapter 6 and verses 10 and 11. You remember the king had put a decree that if you didn't stop praying to your God and start worshiping him, then he'd thrown you into a den of lions. Daniel 6 verses 10 and 11 says, "And when David knew that that the writing was signed, he went into his house." Now his windows were open in his chamber toward Jerusalem. "And he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Then these men assembled together and found Daniel making petition and supplication before his God." And we know how that story proceeded. We've got to make a decision. And then we do it. We stay to it. We continue to do what we've been doing, no matter what others may say or think, no matter what other circumstances might be that might try to get in our way. And you might want to record when and where and about what that you are praying. Make a record of it. That'll be encouraging to you as you press along. We might not need to think about our giving, and is our giving like it needs to be? We need to, stop and consider. Are we giving God the first fruits of what we have to offer, or are we giving him what's left over after we've enjoyed all the pleasures of this life? We need to stop and assess our giving. Was it purposeful giving, as we mentioned earlier? Was it planned giving, or was it giving what was left over? Was it regular or haphazard? Were we not giving when we're not in attendance, and we're not in attendance like we should? We've already looked at that. You know, how is our giving? Is it like God wants it to be? Were we a cheerful giver, or did we give grudgingly and out of a feeling of necessity? We need to give properly, and so we need to have a goal for ourselves that is reachable. The Apostle Paul, again, as we saw earlier, talked about purposing in our heart, making that definitive decision well in advance as to what we're going to give back to the Lord. Giving to the Lord should be at the top of our budgets. A fellow by the name of Robert Turner, I don't know if any one of you ever heard of Robert Turner, but he was a gospel preacher of years ago. And I met him when I was in Florida College back in the late 70s. He was a teacher there for a semester. But I remember him telling us what the perfect budget for a Christian is. He said, the first thing you do, only two steps to it. First step is this. Decide what you're going to give back to the Lord. Consider how richly the Lord has blessed you and decide how you can give back to the Lord properly. And number two, live on the rest. But what are we doing? A lot of times we're doing the very opposite. We're deciding how we want to live, and so we're spending what we can on all the comforts of this life, and then with what's left over, we decide to give part of that to God. We've got it backwards. I believe Brother Turner had it right. We need to make a decision as to what we're going to give back to the Lord, and then we learn to live on what's left. If we are blessed of God, we'll have far more than what we really need. But we need to put the Lord first. And so we need to have a determined goal of, a very clear goal of what we're going to be giving to the Lord. And it's one of those things, again, where when it comes time to give, there's not a decision to make because we already made the decision. Forethought and planning, that's what we're talking about here, resolving. And so we've got to do it. Put it in our budget. Again, the top of the budget. And, make sure that you keep your promise to the Lord. We might also talk about Bible study and the need to improve ourselves in that area. You know, how much did we study in the last year? How much did we really devote to the study of God's Word? You know, over in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, Peter said, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and forever. Amen." We're to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord. That means we need to study His Word. We've got to study about Him to learn about Him. And so how have we been doing in that respect? Do you show yourself approved unto God? 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15. "A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, handling aright the word of truth." Well, we need to assess ourselves. We need to set for ourselves a goal that we're going to study more. And again, we may have a vision of how much we should be studying every day, and at first we may have to set smaller steps along the way till we can get to that ultimate goal. But we need to set for ourselves that goal. Over in Ezra 7 and verse 10, it talks about Ezra. And it said, "Ezra had set his heart to seek the law of Jehovah and to do it, and to teach in Israel statutes and ordinances." He had set his heart to seek the law of Jehovah. He had resolved. And that's what we need to do as well. We need to set our heart to learning more about God and learning more about His will as revealed in the Bible. And then, of course, do it. And record, as we have it there. You know, taking notes from your studies will help you to retain those things that you've learned. And will, of course, show you that you're making progress as you're studying. And so, record it. But the last area we'll look at briefly, and that is telling others about the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need to share the gospel with others. How many were converted to Christ last year because of you? I think probably a lot of Christians would say that none. And why would that be? How many did you teach? Again, I think in a lot of cases the answer would be none. And therefore we have the answer as to why you weren't able to convert many people. Because you didn't put forth much effort to teach them. We have to make a determined effort that we're going to teach people about Jesus Christ, or we'll not be able to do that. We've got to have goals for ourselves in order to accomplish that. Keep a list of prospects, people in your life that you already know and have relationships with who need to obey the gospel of Christ, people that are lost and need the knowledge of truth. I read of one man who kept a list of 100 people that he wanted to see obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so every time he would see them, he wouldn't just see them as somebody he hadn't seen in a while and start talking about hunting or whatever. He would see them as someone that's on his list of people that need the gospel. And so he would talk to them about Jesus. And he would convert one, he would take that person's name off the list and find someone else that he could put on his list. So he was always thinking about the other person and their need for salvation. We've got to make a determination that we're going to teach. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and in verse 2. The Apostle Paul said, "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." We should be determined to do the same thing. We should be determined that when opportunities are there to talk with others, visit with others, that we're going to use it as an opportunity to spread the gospel and not just an opportunity to talk about the weather or hunting or whatever the case might be. And then, of course, we need to do it. We need to determine that we're going to do this work and find the courage to say the words that need to be said to share the gospel of Jesus with someone else. And many passages could be looked at on that. You know, we're to be branches in the vine of Christ. And for us to be branches, then we need to be bearing fruit. And if not, John 15 and verse 2, he talked about how that we'll be cut off and gathered and burned. And then record your successes. You know, as you talk with one person, you may not be able to convert them. They may not have an open heart to the truth. But you know, if you keep a record of it, if you think about what took place and what went wrong, then in the future, when you're talking about another person on your list of prospects, then you'll be able to find the right words to approach them with the message of Jesus. We've got to have it on our mind, and we've got to have our mind set and focused on trying to share the gospel, or it won't be shared. That's what we need to understand. We need to improve ourselves, perhaps, in these kind of areas. So we need to assess ourselves. We need to set for ourselves reachable goals. We need to determine we're going to do it and then record our successes. A fellow by the name, well, his first name starts with a J, apparently, but his last name is Hawes. He said, "You may be whatever you resolve to be. Determine to be something in the world and you will be something. I can't, never accomplished anything. I'll try has wrought wonders." We defeat ourselves so many times by being convinced that we can't. And so we don't even try. I hope that in this coming year that we'll not have that attitude, but that we'll have the attitude that we're going to determine to do better in our service for the Lord. That we're going to leave today with the determination of heart that we're going to be present for all the services, that we're going to pray more, that we're going to study more, we're going to be more like God wants us to be. And I hope next year when you look back, you can look back with a smile because you did it. I hope that's what we'll be able to all be able to see as we go forward. Resolve to make a great year of service to the Lord. If you're here this morning and you've not been living like you should, a child of God who's not been living like you ought to, we hope you will resolve today to make things right. We hope you will resolve to make yourself right in God's sight and begin serving Him faithfully once again. We'd be happy to help you. We'd be willing to start by praying on your behalf while we're assembled here today that the sins of your life might be forgiven. And we'll be happy to be by your side every step of the way to encourage you. We would ask that you encourage us along the way too. We all need encouragement. So if you're here this morning, you need to make some changes in your life. You need to resolve to do better in the Lord's service. We do hope you'll come. Let your wishes be known while we're standing and while we're singing.